please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 5. Lord willing, we're going to be looking at some of the statements that Jesus makes in the Sermon on the Mount. I encourage all of you, I have rejoiced in the past 2 or 3 weeks in looking at the Sermon on the Mount, thinking and meditating about all the different things that Jesus taught us in this marvelous passage of Scripture in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. So I encourage you to spend time at home reading and studying more about the Sermon on the Mount, looking at each phrase. The main thing we're going to be looking at this morning is going to be in the Beatitudes, or what we call them the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, especially verses 3 through 10. We'll begin reading now with Matthew chapter 5, and beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." I want you to remember that this message in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, in these three chapters, this message was not to the multitudes. He saw the multitudes, then he went up into a mountain. Verse 2 says, after it says his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. That these teachings now are to the disciples of Jesus, to the followers of Jesus that went up on the mountain to hear what he said. Here's the message that he gave to them. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, I know that you can read this, blessed, but if you'll study a little, you'll find that the word blessed means pure and holy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They're both spelled exactly alike, B-L-E-S-S-E-D. Blessed, when we say the word blessed, we're talking about pure and holy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed means a person receives blessings. You are blessed people. God is a blessed God. You see the difference there? Blessed means pure and holy. Blessed means you've received a blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So he talks a lot about the blessings that certain of God's children receive. Now, these blessings are not for all of God's people. The particular blessings, there's a category or a requirement that is called for by Jesus prior to every blessing. Let's just take one of those verses. Let's take verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, what is the blessing that the poor in spirit get? Because they are poor in spirit, what is the blessing that they get? They get the kingdom of heaven. I think it's important as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, since that is the main subject in the Sermon on the Mount, it is always important for us to remember what the difference is in the eternal heaven and the kingdom of heaven. The eternal heaven is where we go when this world is over. When we die, we'll be in the eternal heaven. There's only one heaven when this world is over, and we do not get into the eternal heaven because we are poor in spirit or because we are seeking after righteousness or any of these things that we do. We do not get into the eternal heaven based on what we do. We enter the eternal heaven because of what God has done for us. It's the amazing grace of God, and that alone that gets us into the eternal heaven. But the kingdom of heaven is something that God has prepared for his obedient children while they live here in this world. The word of God in Romans 14 and verse 17 defines the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is not meat and drink. It's not a material, natural kingdom. It's not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Have you ever felt the joy of the Lord? Then you're in the what? You're in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the way the Word of God in Romans 14, 17 defines the kingdom of heaven. And we need to also know, where is the kingdom of heaven? John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, the 12 apostles, the 70 disciples, every preacher in the New Testament, they preached about the kingdom of heaven. That was the focus of their ministry, was about the blessing of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost that's given to God's obedient children while they live here in this world. And so some people, after they heard, for example, John the Baptist and Jesus said, repent. Is that something you need to do? Is that something I need to do? Is that a work? Repent. Repent. Jesus, John the Baptist, the 12 apostles, they all gave this message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is, what are the last two words that they all used? At hand. What does at hand mean? At hand means it's right here, right now. The Pharisees in Luke 17, they began to question Jesus after Jesus and the apostles had been preaching over and over, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Pharisees and the scribes began to question Jesus and say, where is this kingdom of heaven? You all keep saying it's at hand, and we don't see the kingdom that you're talking about. So they pressed him in Luke 17 and verse 20. They demanded of him, where is this kingdom of heaven? And verse 21, the scripture says that Jesus said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. What does that mean? It cometh not with observation. It means you can't see it. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is within you. You hear that last expression that Jesus made in Luke 17, 21? The kingdom of heaven is within you. You know, it's wonderful that you can have the heaven, this kingdom of heaven, in you before you enter the eternal heaven. All of God's people who will be in the eternal heaven, some of them enjoy the kingdom of heaven while they live, and others do not. In order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to repent. You have to turn away from evil, and you have to try to follow God. Nobody's perfect, but Jesus makes this statement, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to be a doer of God's word. It's by works, it's by obedience that you enter the kingdom of heaven. It's by grace that you enter the eternal heaven. You understand the difference? Enter the eternal heaven is because of the work of God. It's because of the grace of God. It's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ that will be in the eternal heaven. But we need to be praying, God, help me to enter the kingdom of heaven right now. Help me to feel right now, every day. Help me to feel that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Help me to have heaven right now. So many of God's people are just looking forward to going to heaven when they die. Brethren, the greatest blessing you've got on this earth is this kingdom of heaven that God has for us today. To be able to feel the peace of God. To be able to feel the joy that God has for his obedient children. For Jesus to say, well done. Brethren, if you'll look at the passage that says that Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Was he commending that servant for works? Well done, is that your works? Yes. Do works get you to the eternal heaven? No. That whole parable, as is every parable in the New Testament, is not about the eternal heaven. It's about the kingdom of heaven, which God has prepared for his obedient children. And so Jesus says in Matthew 25, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the what? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he begins that parable by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then gives the parable. Every parable begins by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he gives you a parable. And every parable is about the kingdom of heaven, which God has prepared for his obedient children while they live here in this world. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, that's what Jesus talks about over and over, is the kingdom of heaven. And the first statement he makes in the Sermon on the Mount is blessed. Did you know it's a blessing? Let me first say this. It's a blessing that you're going to be in eternal heaven one day. It's a blessing that you're going to be in eternal heaven. And that blessing is because of what God's done for you. Not God did 99% of it. Now if you'll do one more thing, you're going to be in the eternal heaven 100% because of the amazing grace of God and the work of God. That's a blessing. I'm glad to know where I'm going to be when this world is over. I'm glad to know that when I die, that's not all there is to it. I'm glad to know that in the very moment that I die, the Spirit returns to God that gave it. But right then, the only thing that's up there is the Spirit. The body's going to go back to the dust of the earth. But one day Jesus is coming back. And the bodies, your body, my body, is going to be raised from the dust of the earth and reunited with the Spirit. And we're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God and be taken home to be with God forever. That's a great, great blessing to know what's going to happen. But listen, it is also a great blessing to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven while you live here on this earth. It's a blessing to have heaven in you. It's a blessing to have some heaven on earth. There are a lot of God's children who will be in eternal heaven that instead of experiencing the kingdom of heaven, they're experiencing a lot of hell here on this earth. You know what happens to a child of God when they walk contrary to God's word? They experience hell here on this earth. Jonah was a great man of God. God called him to preach. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach. And he went whenever he was called. The Bible says he arose and fled to Tarshish. Do you remember that? He didn't do what God told him to do. What happened? In Jonah chapter 2, he says, from the belly of hell cried I. Did Jonah die and go to hell? No, he did not. Did he have a hell here on this earth? Yes, he did. Why did he have that hell here on this earth? Because he disobeyed God. When David sinned with Bathsheba, he had a hell here on this earth. When he killed Uriah, he had a hell here on this earth. Why did he have that hell? Because of the sin in his life. Did that keep him out of eternal heaven? No, brethren. David will be in the eternal heaven because of the amazing grace of God. But he missed a lot of joys in this world. He missed the righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In fact, in Psalm 51, he acknowledges he doesn't feel the joy of the Lord. And he cries to God and says, restore unto me the joy. What did he lost? Had he lost his salvation? No, he hadn't lost his salvation. What did he lost? The joy. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Do you see the difference? I can't lose my salvation, but I can lose the joy of it. And you and I need to pray, God, help me to live every day so that I don't lose the joy. Help me to live every day so I can have this kingdom of heaven, this righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's what Jesus tells us in this Sermon on the Mount. He lays it out. He says, you want the kingdom of heaven? Here it is. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Now, listen carefully. You can be rich materially and still be poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means to be humble. Poor in spirit means you're not full of vain pride. It means you're not full of yourself. Poor in spirit. Did you know that sometimes we get proud in spirit? We get lifted up in our spirit instead of being poor in spirit. And the Word of God here says in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If I'm not poor in spirit, every time I get full of pride, I am out of the kingdom of heaven. Every time that I am not poor in spirit, every time that I am not humble, I'm going to be out of the kingdom of heaven. Go with you to Matthew chapter 18 very quickly. In Matthew chapter 18, the Word of God is telling us here about the importance of being poor in spirit. It's not a phrase that's used often in the Scriptures, but the essence of it and the truth of it are taught in both the Old and the New Testaments. The poor in spirit are the humble. And that humility is one of the great blessings that a child of God has to have in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever felt that peace and joy in your soul? You've been in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, sometimes the people who do the most religious-wise, and I'm going to put religious-wise in quotation marks, sometimes the people who do the most religious things get very proud of what they're doing. You ever been proud of what you do? I have, brethren. If the devil can keep me from doing what's right, he won the battle. But if I do what's right, and then I'm proud about what I'm doing, he still won the battle. Pride. Arrogancy will rob you of the joy and the peace in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 1, the word of God says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" I don't believe John the apostle was the one that said those words. It was one of the apostles. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, now were they disciples of Jesus? Were they men who were following Jesus? In many ways, they were following Jesus. Had they sacrificed many things to follow Jesus? Yes. But then they began to think, now, who is the greatest? Not who's going to be. You follow the verb tense there? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Did they know the kingdom of heaven was here? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Let's suppose me and Brother Richard and Brother David were to say, we've got an argument going on. And we're gonna get the church to vote which one of us is the greatest. We're arguing about which one of us is the greatest. Do you follow this? And so we're going to stand up here and say, now y'all vote which one of us is the greatest. Which one of us is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? If me and Brother Richard and Brother David are arguing about which one of us is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, which one of us is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? None of us. Why? Because that's vain pride. And it's only those that are poor in spirit that are able to enter the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, Jesus says in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye... Pronoun ye is referring to whom? Disciples. Except ye be converted. Have they already been born again? They've already been born again. Have they already been converted about a lot of other things in their lives? Yes. But they still needed conversion in this area of vain pride. They needed to be poor in spirit. So Jesus says, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Does it take humility to enter the kingdom of heaven? Absolutely. Do you have to be poor in spirit to enter the kingdom of heaven? Verse 4 says, Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Brethren, if you're not willing to be a servant, if you're not willing to humble yourself, if you're not poor in spirit, you will not be in the kingdom of heaven. No matter what else you do, you will not be in the kingdom of heaven. If you're proud of yourself, you're not in the kingdom of heaven. If you're thankful for what God has done for you and you realize Luke 17:10, Jesus says this. He says that when we have done all that is commanded of us, that we're to say we're still unprofitable servants. Do you follow that? It doesn't matter how much I do as your pastor. Doesn't matter how much we do as children of God. We're still, if we did everything we're supposed to do, we're still unprofitable servants. There's no room for vain pride. Don't get on your high horse. Don't think about how much better you are than somebody else. If you do, you're out of the kingdom of heaven. I'm not talking about losing your eternal salvation. But you're going to lose the joy and the peace that you need in your soul. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 5. We'll go back to the Sermon on the Mount very quickly. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. We've been looking just briefly at Matthew. I guess briefly. It's briefly to me anyway. Matthew 5, verse 3. We've been looking at blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know how long you could preach on that one subject? Forever. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Listen, was Jesus poor in spirit? Was he humble? Oh, he's the king of the kingdom. He was humble. Now, verse 4, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed. Now, what does that word blessed mean? What does the word blessed mean? means you receive a blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What is the blessing you receive when you're poor in spirit? The kingdom of heaven. Now verse four. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Who is going to be comforted by God? Who is going to be comforted by God? Only those that mourn. Does God comfort those that mourn? I believe with all my heart that when you lose somebody you love, if you've been serving the Lord, God's going to be right there to comfort you. You're going to feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And that is a great blessing, to feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Now, the main thing that I believe is under consideration in Matthew 5:4, when he says, blessed are they that mourn, I think he's talking about those that mourn because of sin. All through the Bible, the Word of God talks about children of God that begin to look at themselves and they begin to mourn because of sin. What does God do when they mourn because of sin in their lives? What does God do whenever we look around and we see the sin of our nation and we mourn because of the sin in America? Really mourn. What happens? God comforts our soul. Mourning because of sin. Blessed are they that... Did you know there's some people that can't even blush because of sin? The Bible talks about that. There's some people that pine away in their sin. They just keep right on sinning. They don't ever change. They're just continuing in that ungodly way. But then there are those that mourn because of their sin. And that godly sorrow leads them to repentance, and they turn away from that evil, and God blesses them, and God comforts them. You remember two men went up into the temple to pray? The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you, I'm not as other men are. You know what he was full of? Pride. Was he in the kingdom of heaven? No. That other man that went up into the temple that wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, he mourned because of his sin. He bowed his head and smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know who comforted him right there when he said, God, was he a sinner? Why, yes, he was a sinner. And by the way, there's somebody on the pew with you that's a sinner too. And there's somebody in this pulpit that's a sinner too. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If it weren't for the mercy and the grace of God, we would have no hope whatsoever. And that publican that smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He was both poor in spirit and he was mourning because of his sin. And he was comforted and he was in the what? He was in the kingdom of heaven. Go with me, please, in your Bibles to James chapter 4 very quickly. I want us to see that the Word of God, you know, there are people that don't think that children of God ought to mourn. There are children of God, there are preachers today, there are denominations today that just want people to laugh and just be happy and always frivolous things and giggling and smiling all the time. I'll tell you, brethren, Jesus didn't smile all the time. He mourned. When he looked at Jerusalem in Matthew 23, he says, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you unto myself, and ye would not. He was mourning right there. Jesus often wept. He wept. He mourned. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, if you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven, if you're going to be in the kingdom of Jesus, you're going to have to mourn. And the Bible commands you to mourn. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. James 4, beginning with verse 6, the Word of God says, But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now I want you to watch this carefully as we go through about three verses here. What are the two things we've looked at so far in Matthew chapter 5? There are two things. Blessed are the what? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's being humble. And what was the other one? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, that's what this whole passage is going to deal with, both these things, being humble and mourning. They go together. He says, He giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Do you know how you feel when you draw nigh to God? Do you know how you feel when you draw nigh to God? You're going to feel that you're a sinner. The closer you get to God, the more you're going to feel, I'm a sinner. The closer you get to that bright, shining light, the more you see the darkness in your own life. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to be falling on your knees and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted. Listen to verse 9. This is a command. Be afflicted and mourn. What's the second thing he commands you to do in verse 9? Mourn. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, I want you to know, when you're in the kingdom of heaven, you are lifted up into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm talking about lifted up to eternal heaven. I'm talking about Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are able to be lifted up and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Has God ever lifted you up into his kingdom? Have you ever been able to feel the righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? Do you know when he will do that? He promises in Matthew 5, 3, and 4, he promises, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They're going to be lifted up. That's what this passage is telling you right here. If you'll be humble, and if you'll mourn, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You'll be lifted up. That's what this passage tells you. It's a promise from God. Just as Jesus was promising in Matthew 5, 3 and 4, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. May God help us to get off our high horse. May God help us to humble ourselves. May God help us to mourn. May God help us to see the sin as it is in our lives. May God help us to see the horribleness of the sin. May God help us to mourn. May God help us to be afflicted. May God help us to weep, because then God will come and comfort us. I thought we were going to get to all 10 of these this morning, but it's all important. We'll have to come back tonight if you want to look at verses 5 and 6. Might not get past 5. You don't ever know for sure what's going to happen. But brethren, listen, you go home and study this. It's important. I pray that God will help us to be doers of God's word. Think about the joy. Think about how blessed you are. Not just to know you're going to heaven when you die, but how blessed you are to have the kingdom of heaven right here on this earth. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.